Okay, we're starting a new chapter, continuing forward in the Peleoitz, continuing with the concept of Ones. Ones means, oftentimes, it means duress, right? We've been learning about it actually in Bava Kamma, the difference between Ones and Pshia, Ones Gadol, right? There's a Shachar Rosh. So let's talk about how Ones hopefully can help us kind of go through life. Now, Ones in life, it just says the Halakha Peleoitz, Omer HaChacham. Right, such a situation where a person can point to the physical limitations and challenges, things that are a little bit annoying, that's not called oinus. People have a big mistake when you hear the concept. Oynis de Rachmana Patre. It doesn't mean that there's challenges. It doesn't mean that there's things that are blocking your way. Things are making it more difficult. Oynis means, Pashit, that you can't. And I think that is a real commentary on, it's very, very applicable to our society today. A lot of times we don't really know our own capabilities until we actually push forward. We sometimes stop too quickly when there's a challenge, or there's difficulty, when there's struggle. They say, okay, I can't do it. No, there are sometimes, literally, where you cannot move. You physically, literally, mentally, emotionally, cannot move. You can't continue forward. But there are often times where we think we've reached that level, and we really haven't. And it just takes a little bit more of that resilience to push forward, to continue going through. Because otherwise, without pushing forward, you're never really going to taste success. The amount of times that I hear people say, I have this issue, this learning disability, this challenge. Hazma. So you're the first one ever on the face of the planet ever had a learning disability and somehow didn't learn, didn't continue forward, didn't progress in their learning. No. There are many, many people that have. It's my challenge. It's almost like we invest more effort into the reasons why we can't do something than invest in the effort to know that we can do something. And says the Halakha Peleoitz, people make a huge mistake about the concept of Oynos Derech Mana Patre. That's not what you think. It's not just you have challenges, difficulties, things that are standing in your way. These claims, these false claims of, I was Oynos, I couldn't do it, I couldn't forward, I couldn't get up. It's not going to help you in the next world. The only Patur when you're not actually up there is that you literally were Patur. If you were having, I would be so crass, if you're having stomach issues and literally you cannot... You're having problems in the morning, that's when you're putter from tefillin.
Your mom couldn't do it.
Your body's not clean, you physically cannot put on tefillin. You're not allowed to put on tefillin when you're in an unclean state. That's why it's Rechmana Patre. It's where you wake up, you have a headache, you're not feeling so well. No, you don't have a putter. You can't claim it's Rechmana Patre. You can do it, you can physically do it. And again, it really needs to be a lesson for us to say, okay, what does it mean that I... What are my metrics for how I conclude what something is called oinus or not? Because I usually, oftentimes, I'm wrong. Because we too quickly jump that I can't do something. In order to differentiate between what's called a real oinus and what's not called a real oinus, Yadame, you should think to yourself, if literally you were sitting there and you had a blinding, really, really annoying headache. Now, I'm not talking about like a cluster headache where it's actually... There's this and another type of machla where it's a type of pain in your face. They call it the suicide pain. Because people literally, because the percentages of actual suicide, there's no actual cure for it. There's no surgeries that can be done for it. There's a certain type of pain in your face, like a nerve that pushes up against your bone. And also, it's called cluster headaches. We're not talking about like a simple post-Yom Kippur, post-Tishabov headache. But let's just say like that. In a normal situation where you have a simple... Not simple, but it really is painful. But a very intense headache.
Why are we talking about suicide?
Because that's a case of literally where it's like actual oinus, where people physically cannot move forward. And God forbid, people make that decision in order to relieve themselves that pain. But a regular pain, but a regular headache. All right, so you have a regular headache, and someone will come to you and say, "You need to attend a meeting. You have a regular headache, and it's very frustrating and annoying." But someone would say to you, "You know what? I have a headache, but if you could just attend this one meeting for an hour, just sit through it to the best of your abilities. Just be the present, be able to actually not even just be present, actually. I would even say be mentally engaged. Like, try to do the best you can, but be mentally engaged. And after that meeting, someone will hand you a check for $100 million. Would you do it?
Shem does it all the time.
Would you do it?
Yeah,
of course you would do it.
Don't give it to me.
$100 million. $100 million. but I have a headache. No, so you tell the guy, no, I can't do it. Maybe tomorrow. Tomorrow, there's no deal tomorrow. You come tomorrow, you're not going to get. So, I know, but I have a huge headache. I can't do it. You lose $100 million over a headache. Wow, okay. It must be a very expensive headache. I mean, listen, you know?
But if a person were to feel that unusual pain you're
talking about, then is he part of it? The unusual, that would be a case of oinus, where you literally physically, you're throwing up. You can't move. But if it's a pain, it's an ache, it's something, again, this is a real... So therefore, says the Hilchos Peyotz, that you literally would get like this unbelievable money coming in. All you have to do is just push through this little issue, this little challenge. Would you do it or not? Of course you would. Of course you would. If you literally would say, I literally cannot move, I cannot get out of bed, I'm going to throw up, I'm going to be sick, I literally cannot do it, I'll lose $100 million, I'm okay with it.
It's not that you're okay, you can't do it. You can't go ahead.
He says, if you would make a decision not to go, that's called oinus gomer.
Meaning you can't.
Yeah, of course. If you would get up and you would push yourself to make that money, right? If you had a very, very important business deal and you get up for that meeting. What's the difference? The difference is there's one's called first seder, one's called the business deal, right? One, you make money out of it. The other, you have to wait until the end of the month to get your money, right? I mean, that obviously, it's ridiculous. Obviously, it's insane because, you know, one day in Kol is worth $5 bajillion. You can't even quantify with any normal amount of money. Right. But you see it more. Fine, you see it. But the point is, we have to see it. We have to. If we're part of this process, we have to be able to say, you know what? I do believe strongly that one day of Torah, and God forbid, one day without Torah, is no different than me literally losing a $500 million business deal.
So why can't Hashem have that? For the Torah, why can't we have both? Why is
it? I can't hear you so well. Huh?
If for the Torah, why is it one or the other? Either you get the schar, the Torah, and you don't get the. And
because
the
here,
all of us struggle.
I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why. Because here's the answer. The answer is, because in order to do great things, you have to make tough decisions. And Hashem wants us to do great things. That means you have to make tough decisions. A tough decision means, Olam Hazeh, Olam Haba. Now, it's not in either or a proposition. Of course, Baruch Hashem, there are people who are living very comfortably and able to also Baruch Hashem learn. I'm not pretending that doesn't exist. What I am saying is that you have to make tough decisions. Because
a little easier.
A little easier? I want you to know, the definition and the conception of little easier is only as good as it is today for you as easier. Tomorrow, your change of easier is going to be... You know, there are many people that they make a good business deal, make $100,000, and for, let's say, they're struggling for years to just make a good business deal. Finally, $100,000 comes in, it's great for the first month. Oh, you feel great. And then you start looking at the money that's going down, because then you have to start paying your bills. Oh, I need to make $125. Then it becomes $150. Then it becomes $200, $250. Again, you can see. And then, you know.
If we're a nation of Torah, why is a Rosh Hashiva not even getting paid half? What a guy running
businesses. This is a great question. It's a great question. First of all,
it's a great, you don't say Baal Tshuva answer. You don't say that.
Okay, listen, Baruch Hashem, but maybe they're right. and to be honest, a Rosh Hashiva worth his salt is not looking at the bottom line saying, you know, I'm...
Well, let's see what we're reading. Having to go now for a month, basically, this year.
Well, what's he going to... He's not paying out of his own expenses. He's got to get it from somebody else. Regardless, my point... A Rosh Hashiva and a Rosh Koil worth his salt does not look at the world through that perspective. In order to be a true, real...
You don't think we're even wishes that someone just...
Oh, of course. Yeah, but you know what? I'm gonna say breaking news. Breaking news, I'm telling you... I'm glad all of you are sitting as I say this news, okay? This may come to a shock to you. Okay, but are you okay? Asaf, sit down. This is very important news. We're in Gullis. And because we're in Gullis, there's something called wrong... new. What's the word I'm looking for?
Wrong perspective,
wrong priorities. The world has wrong priorities. You're right. But you know what? We have to have that reminder every so often. If it means Rosh Kol has to go to America or England to be able to bashaf geld, to then collect money for his tamid, to remind us that we're in Galus, then it means we really are very disconnected from reality. Because we're in Galus. And you know, if you take a look at some people, there's a guy, Sheldon Adelson, right? Sheldon Adelson, billionaire. Now, maybe Vasif Yamav, he started giving money to yeshivas and to Torah institutions. But how much money? I know he did. How much money was he giving to, like, it's a to CPAC, right? To APAC, all these organizations. How much money is he giving? hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars.
George Soros, another yid, where his money's going.
Well, have the up advice. You take a look. If you take a look at this recent election, this Roshanta. What's her name again? The dustbin of history. Nobody remembers her anymore. Kamala Harris. Right, so Kamala Harris. You know how much money her campaign spent? So she collected $1 billion, and she actually is in debt $20 more million. So she's in debt because she spent all the billion in 3 months. She spent $1 billion plus $20 more million.
What?
She's in debt for $20 million. She didn't just pay. No, what's the pshat? The pshat is that, and you know how many people, and believe me, we know the Jews. Baruch Hashem, in this last election, 44% of the Jews voted for Trump. That means other percentage. 47. All right? Nagin. Right? No. The point is a whole other larger majority did not vote for Trump and did not support Trump. Who did they vote for? Mistama. They did not vote for Jill Stein, although she's Jewish. They voted for the Democrats because the Jews, it's like, you know, Galigan income. Now, what's the Likud? The Likud is how many Jewish billionaires gave to the Democratic Party? If Geula were here, those people would give the money to the yeshiva, to Panovich, to Chevron, to Brisk, all the major yeshivas. Of course they call the Fisher Chaim. Of course they would. But I hate to break it to you. Eitan, this may come to a shock to you. I don't know if you heard it because you're so far in the back. We're in Gullus. And because we're in Gullus, there's verstunkten priorities. People don't have the right priorities in mind. It's not a kasha. The fight is not a kasha. Anyway, my last is Kevin Rebach. We're not handling politics. My last is Rebach Yeshkat. Sarech litkoik mayana leyom pekuda. Such a person, again, who's willing to push forward through the physical limitations, the mental limitations, because he knows, hey, ultimately I'm making a good bank over here, I'm making a lot of money, then you have to ask yourself a certain question. Then what am I going to do when I get up to the high heaven, when I get to the high courts? Hello, Yevush v'yikolim, lo yelo lo pelo hashiv. You're not anything to respond to. You're not going to be able to actually properly say, you know what? I can't believe I let. I don't want to get too deep into it because it sounds like I'm going to call people out, which I'm not. I'm not calling anybody out. It's just the basic fact of life. I let the fact that my wife wanted to go out for our, you know, not our anniversary. Anniversary, I understand, but our like 6 month anniversary, because you know the Shana Rishonim is they like to do it by the months, right? So the 6 month anniversary, we went out for a cup of coffee before I went to Kohl, and I came a little bit late, and by the time I finally settled down by my Gemara, I was totally behind the eight ball. You have to have what to respond to that. You have to say, Kosh Baruch Hu, 6 months. It was beautiful. I'm so happy. Thank you for giving me my zivug. But 6 months wasn't worth it to lose the chelik and Torah. I'm speaking a tough and extreme. Believe me. I'm not.
What do you tell your wife?
What?
What do you tell your wife?
You say, I'm so appreciative that put the fist down. Yeah, put the fist down. Unless she's Moroccan, then you have to like put your hands up to defend. Okay. The point is that I'm joking. However, though, what I'm saying is, what do you tell her? The same way you don't have to tell her anything. It's you're projecting that level of your own values yourself. That she should be able to see that within yourself. That it wouldn't even be a Shiloh at 6 months. You think it's a Shiloh that at 6 months to go out for a cup of coffee for you to for your again? We're not handling the year anniversary. The 6 month anniversary. Baruch Hashem. Okay, listen, Baruch Hashem.
I'm okay, but I see a lot of people.
You know, we may be a different generation, but the crazy part is about the Torah is it hasn't changed even the generations. You know what? So we have to continue. This is a major yisod in Torah. Right? That the light of God is the major. That's what we value more than anything above all else. Torah Ruchnius. Again, to the exclusion. That has to be one of the. These are all beautiful questions. I'm just bringing out one principle. The principle is that the thought process should always run through that filter. Now, it could very well be. Let's say, for example, a husband and wife are going through some major shalom bias problems in the first 6 months of marriage. Right, and they need this time apart, and they need this time together. That is okay. That would be a proper. It doesn't have to only be that type of thing, but that is a healthy, mature perspective. But if Baruch Hashem things are going well, and you're sitting and learning, and you're doing well, then the pressure of the 6 months should not be a thing. Again, these are small, minute examples, but it brings out the larger principle. You definitely could argue with me, but listen, you know.
So if that's,
didn't let me finish. But afterwards, what?
Promise that we
contemplate
every other day because of the coffee
without. Ken Zion. Listen. Everybody has to make, for sure, everybody has to make the cheshbonis, but you have to make your cheshbonis that are on the right cheshbonis. You have to have proper perspective. The way every good decision has to be layered. It has to be like an onion almost, right? You have to kind, or I would say better, like a water filter. You can have different types of filters. One filters through carbon, and then filters through another type of sand until eventually you get to clean water. That's the way Hashkafa has to work. You have to have these filters of values, and the possibility needs to run through those filters until eventually you get to the MS. Okay, but if you don't have a value for the idea of sitting and learning Torah, if you don't have a value of Ritzifus, you don't have the value of this is more important than something else. That is true. That should not be a arguable fact. Torah is more important than anything else. Is that a crazy statement? Because it's not me that said that. Chazal said that. Right? Chazal said this. It's not me. We say it every single morning.
Well, we learn the Maaseh is more important.
Ah, why? But the Torah is Iker because it's Mevi Lede Maisa. I am Michtam Elio, Rav Dessler. I am Michtam Elio, Rav Dessler. He literally talks about this exact Nakuda. However, though, Torah is the Iker. Torah is the best of Torah. Torah is the greatest of all. We'll get to all the nuanced questions in a second. I'm just trying to bring out again another principle Yisoy. Just a principle Yisoy. The principle Yisoy again is that Torah is the best and highest value of all values. No discussion. That's an undebatable Torah fact. That's a rabbinical fact that there's no argument. Facts don't care about your feelings, right? That's what we agree on 100%. Now, with that value, how do you then be able to process it through other factors? Okay, that's called halacha. Halacha is where there's a din l'chatchila, there's a din b'dieved, there's many other factors we take into account. But you have to know the principle. The principle is you have to eat kosher. Okay, what level of kosher, when, which matzah, those are all nuanced discussions, but the principle has to be true. Anyway, Hatzlach Rabbi.